Breaking down the top NBA draft prospects across the globe, you're listening to the Prospect Podcast with Ethan Piotta and Alex Brown. And welcome back to another edition of the Prospect Podcast. I'm Ethan Piotta, joined again today by Alex Brown. And we have a super special edition of the Prospect Pod today for you guys. We're breaking down our favorite fits for the NBA draft, at least the lottery teams that are in it, 1 through 14. And we have a few ground rules with it, obviously, which Alex is going to establish. But super excited to just dive into these fits with the NBA draft now almost right around the corner.
Almost. Got a few more weeks. We're almost there.
Few more. So obviously the Timberwolves on the board with the first overall pick. But before we get into that, I don't know, Alex, do you kind of just want to establish what we're talking about in terms of the fits that we're displaying? Because it's not necessarily best player available in a sense.
Yeah, of course. So obviously if we went best player available on every pick, you know, as far as fit wise, it would look a lot similar to our big boards, which I mean, I can guarantee Malachi Flynn is not going to go top 10, but right. He's top 10 on my board. So, you know, you got to keep those kind of things in mind. We're not just going to go our favorite players. We're going to take into account their potential as far as how high or low they could be drafted. Like, as much as we'd all love to see Wiseman on the Spurs or on the Celtics, it's just unlikely to happen. So,
right, the perfect fit for James Wiseman for all of, you know, at least for, I think me and Alex have talked about it, but everyone wants Wiseman to fall to 14 to the Celtics. The reason I'm lower on him is because he's 100% not going to fall that far in the draft,
yeah,
and he's going to be thrust into a much higher usage role with some other team, as opposed to, you know, the dream fit going with the Celtics. They needed a center, and maybe he's able to fill kind of that lower usage role and just do the things he's good at with that team on an already good team. But that's not realistic, and that's exactly what Alex is outlining.
Indeed.
So yeah, we're going to keep it as realistic as possible for guys that could be in the range of the area from which each team picks. And let's start it off right away. The Minnesota Timberwolves, this is an extremely interesting spot for the Timberwolves. There's been some rumors that they could potentially move down from number one. But they have the first overall pick. They have the first overall pick. I don't know who's going to move up for it. And who are they taking number one overall, Alex?
Well, my favorite fit for the Timberwolves is Denny Avdija. And what I like so much about Avdija's fit on the Timberwolves is the potential lineup versatility you can get with playing him at the four and the three, as well as having another initiator alongside D'Lo and, you know, Culver, and allowing Cat to continue to play inside out. And I think he's going to help a lot on the defensive end as well. So I think getting a two-way guy, like a glue guy like Avdija, is going to be the perfect fit for this team that already has their established primaries and secondaries.
Super interesting there. And I'm completely on the same page as you. I promise I won't be exactly identical to Alex.
We'll get creative.
I do think that we think similar sometimes, but I'm right there with Denny at number one. I think this is the best potential fit for the Timberwolves. As many listeners know, at least for me, LaMelo Ball has been my number one overall prospect since at least last January. And this goes way back on the show. This is a blast in the past in terms of LaMelo versus Killian. We're not going to get into that, but LaMelo is my number one prospect. However, we might later on. But for the Timberwolves, for what they need, I can't give the right away to drafting LaMelo Ball when your defensive backcourt is then LaMelo and D'Angelo Russell from day one. It's just not something that I can see potentially working. And now for me, I haven't even disclosed this to Alex yet, but Denny is my number two overall prospect in this entire draft.
Yes.
After a long time, I finally, and it, you know, honestly, with all that's come out with Denny and how much he's grown on me over these last few months, I would say it's completely warranted. But I think you take at least for me, the next player on the best player on the board, this is the best glue guy in this draft. I've said that for the longest time, and now he's expanding his game to potentially becoming a better three-point shooter and a number of other different facets. I think this is the best fit for the Timberwolves, a team that kind of has potential cornerstones in D'Lo and Karl Anthony Towns, and potentially even guys like Malik Beasley and Jarrett Culver. You add another one to that rotation in Denny Avdia, and I think you run with it. This is a great first overall pick.
Also, somebody that just loves the game and competes as hard as Denny does is going to be it's going to be a welcome sight in the Wolves locker room. And I know it's not going to be the same as a Jimmy Butler situation, which, you know, we could get into. But Denny is – he's still a young guy that wants to win. He's not going to come in and, like, dominate the team like Jimmy did. But exactly. he's gonna bring some flair with him and some fire, which I think the team needs. So I'd be really, really excited for the Timberwolves if they picked up Denny Avdia, because he's really improved on his weaknesses since I initially scouted him. So,
and just everywhere in terms of just filling out his frame, becoming a much more fluid three-point shooter, and we want to see it on a bigger scale, but just in terms of his mechanics, especially his upper body has made such tremendous strides, in my opinion, over just the last few months. I think, you know, he's a guy, especially when you're talking about people that have a good base to build upon and can expand on their game as well. He's someone that's trending in that exact direction, literally as we speak right now.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's why it's totally warranted for the Timberwolves to, I wouldn't even say really take a risk here with the first overall pick. He's a pretty safe pick in my opinion at this point.
Yeah, he's, I think if he didn't improve on some of the weaknesses we really saw back in like December and beforehand, he would be a more risky pick. But I think he's significantly risen his floor since then. So definitely on board for number one. What are you thinking for number two to the Warriors?
So number two to the Warriors, and this might come as a shock to many, but I, whether or not they're going to be at number two or they're going to find their way down in the draft, obviously the ideal situation for them would to be move down a few picks and then draft this guy. But Devin Vassell is my favorite fit aside from Denny Avdia for the Golden State Warriors. And obviously if Denny's here at two, I'm probably taking Denny, but I'm going to talk about Vassell here for
them. We're going to stay creative.
Talk about Vassell here for them because this is, again, I've labeled him as my safest prospect in this entire draft. I think you're just getting an elite 3-and-D upside prospect in Devin Vassell, exactly what the Golden State Warriors need. Easily one of the best help defending prospects that I've ever evaluated. Just extremely intelligent on that side of the ball. And yes, there are questions. There have been questions circulating about his jump shot in the last few weeks, or actually, really just the last week when that workout video came out. I'm not putting much stock into it.
There was two shots there, so fingers crossed. It's just malarkey. Yeah.
and this could change with the combine coming out. It's great timing. We're gonna get a good look at his jump shot, hopefully in the next few weeks at least. So there's not going to be, you know, that complete dark spot of teams going into the draft and trying to, you know, pick and choose on whether or not they think Devin Vassell doesn't have an outside shot anymore. But I think I'm pretty confident in saying that I'm not worried at all with that workout video coming out. And I'm perfectly fine with taking my safest prospect in this entire draft at number two to a team that doesn't really need a high usage difference maker at all. Like, this is a guy that can slot into a lineup with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry year one and be extremely successful in his role.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there are a ton of teams that need a Devin Vassell or multiple Devin Vassells. So if you can find one in the draft,
Yeah,
go for it. But that would be a huge fit on the Warriors, and I'd definitely be a fan of that, as well as Isaac Okoro, I think, would be an excellent pick. But my favorite fit is, as far as drafting for considering BPA and fit, is Onyeka Okongwu. And, well, Onyeka is a little bit lower on my board. I believe he's 6 right now for me. I think he is the type of versatile big you're they're going to need in the playoffs, alongside, of course, Draymond, to help defend some of the more mobile fives, to help defend even some of the guys like Jokic and all the way across to Bam. But getting a versatile defending big is going to be huge for them, and they don't need him to be able to shoot. They really just need him to finish plays, be a versatile defender, and, you know, play hard every night. And they have kind of a gaping hole right now at the five spot. So I really think they could use the added size if they don't find anything they like in free agency, which I think is very possible, because a lot of the free agency guys are drop bigs that really aren't going to offer a lot of versatility when the playoffs come around. So yeah, I think if you can get a young guy like Okongwu that can also make an impact there, that would be huge for them as far as maintaining a contender status.
Absolutely spot on. And I've labeled it. I know we've been on the same page of Okongwu being the best big man in this class for a while. And this
still
has
there.
Been, oh, absolutely. This has been my pick for the Warriors, at least for months. I've always said Okongwu at two is easily the best fit for them. And I think you're totally right in terms of free agency, looking at the bigs that are going to be on the board whenever free agency is. It's guys like, you know, Cantor that were just completely unplayable in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I think if you get a young guy like Onyeka Okongwu, I'm salivating at the opportunity to watch him and Draymond Green play defense together.
Oh my God, wouldn't it be wonderful?
In a few years in the playoffs, I mean, that's just going to be insane. The switching, the amount of things they can do with that personnel defensively.
That's amazing.
From Thompson to Draymond and then Onyeka and then, you know, whoever else they might have. Steph as well, give him a little shout out. But I think just watching those two big guys, you'd be able to switch off screens, play whatever screen coverage you want, is going to be a sight to watch if they were able to land Okongwu. And he doesn't have to be an extreme offensive player with the Warriors either. I think he can succeed in extremely low touches role.
Just roll, man. Especially
if he's, exactly, PF. A roll guy. I like his vision. As a short roll passer, I think that's something he can improve upon.
Yes.
As well, and I love his offensive rebounding. I think those are all things that are great skills that will fit really well in the Warriors. I again, with you, would not be mad at all at Okongwu at number two to the Dubs.
I'd be mad if I were any other team that had to play them in the playoffs, because
oh, yeah. I mean,
talk about the, again, I know you mentioned it, the versatility in defending pick and rolls. You can put them in almost any scheme you want. You can play him in ice. You could play him in. You could have him hedge. You could switch a lot. You know, you don't have to drop him, which is going to be a really, really, really valuable thing when you're playing against the off dribble creators like Damian Lillard and Jamal Murray. So I think having a big like that in the West is going to be so huge for them. And I don't see him falling very far in this draft. What about the Hornets for you?
Hornets for me is where I stopped the LaMelo slide. I think this is the team that is best equipped out of these at least top three teams to take on LaMelo Ball, to give him the platform, to give him the role that he needs to be best successful in the NBA. I think he has a chance to be from day one, primary initiator on this team, should be the primary initiator on this team. The offense should run through him. The ball should be in his hands all the time. And I think, honestly, you know, the Hornets are a team that doesn't get talked about at all because it's not big market, and there's not a wealth of young players that are there that are, you know, national media worth. But guys like Devontae Graham last year, PJ Washington, Bridges, I like the Hornets in their young core that they're potentially building. I think LaMelo could really take this team to an interesting level. If he pans out like I think he does, I think it's a great fit for a team that is currently holding Terry Rozier as their starting point guard on his massive contract. I think LaMelo comes in, takes over that spot, and they roll from there with him.
Oh, definitely. And I agree with everything you just said. And a couple things I'd like to point out about the Hornets is this year they were dead last in pace and dead last in points per game and 29th in offensive rating. So their offense needs the boost that LaMelo brings. And I think day one, he improves that team on the offensive end, just as the initiator, potential Helio guy. But I think he will impact that team more than any other team as far as a fit goes. So I would really like to see LaMelo Ball bring the hype to Charlotte.
At least out of these top three teams, because you can make
– yeah.
Obviously, the argument that the Knicks are the best fit for LaMelo, and I know at least that's where I wanted to see him go was New York.
Everybody,
I mean, it's kind of cool to think about it now. Now he doesn't have to even worry about if he does get drafted to the Hornets, and I think, you know, this is a great fit for him both ways. He doesn't have to worry about playing in a super big market. He doesn't have to worry about people breathing down his neck after year one. He can now come into this offense. And like you said, the Hornets out of these top three teams are the best equipped to, you know, take in a new Helio, potential Helio,
exactly.
In whatever form that is. LaMelo probably to a slightly lesser extent than, you know, some of the other Helios in the NBA.
But still,
to that point, you know, you get a guy like LaMelo that, like you said, could potentially not only enhance – the offense that he's in, but enhance the skill, enhance the level of play from the guys he's playing with. I think Devontae Graham, after last year breaking out, could be in for an even bigger season. Guys like PJ Washington that I mentioned, guys like Miles Bridges, and the other veterans that they have on this team could benefit really well from LaMelo coming in. I think if he comes into this team, this is a team that can make a run for a ninth or an eighth spot in the East right away in that first year with how wide open it is.
It'll be interesting.
Super interested to see if he does land here. I think this is 100%. If I'm the Hornets, I'm saying 1A LaMelo, and then I'm going to, you know, plan C, plan D, plan B. This should be the number one priority come draft.
Yeah. Yeah. These should be number one on their boards. As much as I like Hayes, I think he's too good of a fit. LaMelo's too good of a fit here to pass up. But on the topic of Hayes, Chicago, my favorite fit, Killian Hayes.
Of course.
It's not even close. And I, as most people know, I am quite a fan of the Chicago Bulls. So I promise there's no bias here. I legitimately think Killian Hayes would have some really, really great success on this roster. I think he can play alongside LaVine and Kobe White. He could even run three guard lineups or really have a lot of lineup versatility there, depending on what we do with Chris Dunn. You can bring in another defender. But we really need a guy that can be a volume pick and roll initiator, because we have the scorers and LaVine, White, and hopefully Markkanen and Wendell Carter continue to develop and break out a little bit this year, which I'm hoping for. But I think Hayes can bring the best out of all these young guys, you know. Even the role players like Daniel Gafford, you know, for a role man, a super athletic guy like that, or the, you know, the wings, the Chandler Hutchisons, the, you know, so, I mean, after Thaddeus Young, we don't have a guy that's a 7-year pro or an 8-year pro. So super young team. I want a guy that can connect everybody together and initiate. And that's Killian Hayes. I just want to see him run pick and rolls with Wendell and Lowry all day. So, would love that to happen.
I mean, this is 100%. Like you said, there's no bias to this pick. This is exactly – I'm on the same page as you, once again, with Killian Hayes at number 4 to Chicago. As soon as the Bulls landed the 4th overall pick in the draft lottery, this is instantly the fit I thought of. I know this is instantly the fit you were hoping for. So if Killian Hayes is there at 4 and he does not go to Chicago on draft night, I'm going to have to check in on Alex to make sure that he's okay.
I might cry.
This is a great fit. This is arguably one of my favorite fits now in this entire first round, in this entire lottery. And like you said, you get a guy like Killian Hayes that just connects the dots. I love the Daniel Gafford shout out as well. But I'm excited for the Bulls next year, especially – I don't know if you've heard Wendell's recent comments, but I've been high on Wendell, and I love the fact that he's now playing for a coach that actually cares about basketball, and maybe
Same
it'll make Wendell Yeah, right. Maybe it will make Wendell care a little bit more about the defensive side of the ball because he's got such immense potential on that side of the floor.
Yes.
So I'm excited to see if Killian is to go to Chicago. He's someone that can connect the dots. He's someone that can play together with Kobe White at the same time. There's going to be obviously definitely people out there saying, well, they drafted a point guard last year in Kobe White. Why do they need
Kobe White's a two. I'm
right.
Gonna
that
say
is
it.
Completely
I've,
false.
Every game I watched, yeah. Kobe White's a two.
Exactly.
Trust me.
And
trust
and
me.
Even if you want to label him as a point guard, they are completely compatible together in terms of just backcourt. And I think
on Hayes, both ends too.
Exactly. Hayes on both ends helps White's stock just immensely in terms of taking him off the ball a little bit. You know, not creating for him, getting him easy shots offensively, and also masking some of his defensive weaknesses defensively, even from day one. I think both can work well and grow together on that defensive side of the ball. I'd be extremely excited about that young backcourt.
Killian
Hayes
so
to Chicago, man. I think that's a must fit for the Chicago Bulls. They really lucked into getting
him before this year. I'm praying for it. I hope it happens because I would be ecstatic. But a lot of the guys I'd be happy with, but Hayes is far and away option one for me. But
absolutely.
Before we get carried away, Cavaliers, what do you think of the Cavs?
This is another team that can kind of go anywhere with their fifth overall pick. I am on the board of saying that it's really tentative for me. This is one of the ones where I'm like, okay, would he be there? I was going to say Anthony Edwards. I really don't think Anthony Edwards will be there at five. But if in the event that he is there, I'd probably say Anthony Edwards at number five for the Cavaliers. But secondarily to Edwards, I'd say either one of Devin Vassell, Isaac Okoro, or Denny Avdia, really. I just want to add some wings to this roster. There's two young guards in Darius Garland and Colin Sexton that obviously still need to kind of prove their full worth and what their role is going to be on this team for the foreseeable future. Can they play together? Will one have to get traded away or one move to the bench, whatever it might be? But I think wherever you are, if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers here, you got to go with a wing, in my opinion. I think at least one of Anthony Edwards, Devin Vassell, or Isaac Okoro should be there at five.
Yeah, and a couple things I want to point out for the Cavs. Defensive rating, they ranked 29th. And they have quite a lot of size, and picking up Drummond still is intriguing. And it kind of shows that they're probably not buying into some of the bigs in this class.
Right.
At least that's what I mean, I wouldn't pick up Drummond if I wanted a young, you know, a young big on my team. So I'm with you, Devin Vassell. I also mentioned maybe Tyrese Halliburton if you want a linking piece and, you know, a secondary playmaker. But they need high-floor, smart basketball players that are going to help them win on both ends. And I think Devin Vassell is pick number one here just because of their current roster construction. And I'm not sure that they buy any of these guys like so much that they're going to break it up, you know, a point guard or, you know, I don't know if Hayes is still on the board or even Denny, but I expect them to try to pick up a wing because they really don't have one outside of Kevin Porter, who's really a young creator who's not going to help much defensively. So I think you need wing size, and Devin Vassell is fits the mold there.
Yeah, and even I think this might be a reach here at five, but I've obviously been super high on Patrick Williams for a super long time. If I'm the Cleveland Cavaliers, that's also a guy I'm probably looking into at five, but there is a pretty safe bet, I would say, that at least one of Vassell, Okoro, even Denny, although he's the most unlikely of those three, will be there at five, and I think that's the direction you have to go. This is such a front court heavy team with still, I believe, Tristan Thompson still rostered for them, and Kevin Love,
so.
And Andre Drummond, and even Larry Nance Jr., guys like that. They're pretty set in terms of their front court, maybe not for the future, but at least for right now. And drafting a guy like a Kongwu at five, if he was there, would kind of just be
Wiseman.
either one would kind of just be a not really a waste because they learn under Drummond, but I don't love the fit for either one of those guys being buried on the depth chart on this team from day one. But I definitely would say wing.
Yeah, I think they need a wing, just looking at the roster in general. And Vassell fits the mold. And he could be that tertiary creator too, which I think is probably his best role. So yeah. 3 and D with tertiary creation, that's a good fit for the Cavs. So for number six to the Hawks, my favorite fit is without a doubt Isaac Okoro. And this is a team that ranked dead last in opponents' points per game. And they have a lot of young wings already that can kind of defend, you know, like DeAndre Hunter. Cam Reddish is a pretty good defender, or at least they project to be. But getting a real good guard defender as versatile as Okoro, I think, is going to be a rare find. And if he's still on the board at six, I think you absolutely have to take him and buy into some of his initiation skills next to Trey in a low usage environment. Because, of course, Trey is going to run Helio. But I think having a guard defender of Okoro's capacity is exactly what the Hawks need to take the next step as a franchise.
Yeah, I'm with you there on Okoro. My other guy that I want to mention that I actually have really grown on for the Hawks in the last few weeks is Tyrese Haliburton actually here. Mm-hmm. I think he's an interesting linking piece alongside Trae Young. I don't know exactly how the fit would look from day one, but I think in the future, you know, playing Haliburton off the ball
is exactly where
I want him to be from day one. I don't want him to be on the ball. I think playing him off the ball alongside Trae Young, letting him be a spot-up shooter, letting him create off the dribble, attacking closeouts, you know, from that wing spot, and then obviously having the ability to take the ball as well out of Trey's hands and vice versa. I think it would be an interesting defensive backcourt for sure, but I think offensively there's a lot of strengths, there's a lot of potential. Yes, that works. With mm-hmm. Tyrese Haliburton, and he's someone that might not even have to start on that team from day one, depending on how well guys like Kevin Huerter and some of their other young wings and guards, you know, play in training camp and before the season. But I like Haliburton here. I'm definitely on the board of Okoro for sure. At six should be the number one guy for the Hawks. But Tyrese Haliburton would not be a bad fit at all with the Atlanta Hawks at number six.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I really like how you mentioned, you know, you could put Haliburton off the ball where he was such an effective threat, at least analytically. And he has the range to be quite a floor stretcher as well. Because, I mean, he's got him and Trey together. That's going to be that'd be kind of a fun little shooting lineup. So definitely like that fit as well. Those would be my top two for them. Pistons, if he's still on the board, Killian Hayes would be my number one fit because him and Sekou are boys and they need a future initiator to really bring out the best in that roster. So if he's available, I say you 100% go Killian Hayes. I really – I don't like anybody more there.
It's really outside of Killian Hayes for this team, it's I'd almost – if on the Pistons, I'm just drafting best player available.
100%.
And because, I mean – there's really no other fit that I'm in love with for Detroit. And I think Killian is absolutely, though, like second to Chicago, if not even a little bit better than Chicago, like one of the best fits in the first round is Killian to the Pistons. They need a point guard. They need a future point guard, need a future initiator, need a future everything. And like you said, you mentioned Sekou and the two Frenchmen.
Could be kind of
potentially
fun.
I mean, I'd be really interested to see those guys play not only on the Pistons but on the French national team for the future. I definitely like this fit for the Pistons at seven. One of my favorites in the first round. And if you're a Pistons fan, draft lottery didn't do you really any favors. So you just gotta hope that he falls. You gotta hope that he's there because that's the exact fit this franchise needs moving forward. And outside of Killian Hayes, everyone else is, I would just say best player available is kind of their second need, in my opinion, if you want to say that.
Yeah, and if they wanted to stretch for, like, Kyra Lewis or, you know, I could see that happening as well.
Right.
Or even Haliburton. It wouldn't be my favorite fit, but I could see them doing that. But at the end of the day, I would like them to take Hayes, or it's going to be our fallback a lot, but Devin Vassell, if he's available, just because every team needs defensive wings. So,
and I mean, it's warranted too. Like, these wings are not going to all go to one team. Like, they're going to fall. They're going to be, there's going to be stretches. We haven't even mentioned, I don't think we're going to mention, or I did at least for one part, Anthony Edwards.
yeah.
But guys like Vassell, guys like Okoro, there's a good chance that they'll be here at seven. And in that case, like you said, all pretty safe. Not, you know, I'm not going to use the word safe all the time, but smart picks, at least for the Pistons. For teams that just need
solid high floor, pieces.
Right, low usage picks that can fit in for the future. But definitely on the board of like you're saying, Killian and then Devin Vassell 100% is kind of just that default second for a lot of these teams.
Yeah, definitely. And it's going to be really surprising, but my favorite fit for the Knicks at number eight is Devin Vassell. If he's available, man, they need defense. They ranked rather low in defense, but offensively they were pretty poor as well. So I think Kyra Lewis is a guy you look at here. And, again, if they're not in love with him, Devin Vassell, but, to keep it creative, I think Kyra would be an interesting fit on this team as a guy that's going to push the pace, run a lot of, you know, pick and rolls with Mitchell Robinson. You know, it's a team that was in the bottom tier of the league in pace and offensive rating and points per game. They were second to last. So I think you need an offensive initiator that's going to play real hard for Coach Thibodeau. And I don't think Dennis Smith is the guy.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you there. For the Knicks here,
I'm not sold on Ntilikina. Sorry.
Right. I went on a show and I literally said like Vassell is probably the best fit for the Knicks at eight, considering their unfortunate situation of where they're now pretty much kind of out of the running for both Killian Hayes and LaMelo Ball.
Yeah.
I love Vassell at eight.
Me too.
But I would not be mad at all to see them go with Kyra at number eight here, Kyra Lewis. I think that's someone that, although it'd be, he'd be thrust into a super high usage role, which wouldn't necessarily be great for him first year, at least first year in the NBA. I think down the line, especially, you're looking at a guy that could play kind of that six-man role or even, you know.
Yeah, first floor.
Right. So I'd be interested to see what Kyra does. In that kind of Knicks system of kind of almost being in that primary role from day one, potentially, depending on how high they value him.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting exercise for the Knicks picking at eight, because I really think they need a guy that can orchestrate breakdowns as often as Kyra can with his speed. And I think when you have a guy that could be as great in pick and rolls as Robinson moving forward, depending on where he focuses his development, if he doesn't just focus on, you know, trying to be KD, you know, that could be a dynamic team with some pieces to work with. But if they don't buy it, go Devin Vassell.
Always he's always there. So
that should tell you something about Devin Vassell's value.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And about Anthony Edwards.
Right.
We haven't mentioned.
About both of them. About how we feel about them, right?
Of course.
Number nine, though. This is the one I've been waiting for this entire show. Washington Wizards. To see this name on the list for Alex is breath of fresh air, really. So I'm interested to see what his reasoning is.
I've been a Tyrese Maxey skeptic for a little while, but I'm really starting to buy in. One, because I love his approach to the game. I think it's spot on with what I want in a guy coming into my franchise. And I think he's a perfect fit for the Wizards as an initiator that can really help on the defensive end as well. This is a team that was, I keep bringing up these stats, but, you know, dead last in defensive rating and second to last in a opponent points per game. So if you can get an initiator like Maxey, where you don't really have to worry about, oh, is he going to be a high usage point guard, or is he going to be kind of more of a secondary, we have Bradley Beal. We can kind of, you know, we play our offense through him anyways. You know, we're going to have a pretty decent offense. So Maxey can play on or off the ball a little bit, and we can add his defensive value, and we can have our guard for the future in case John Wall really just never comes back.
Yeah, I was saying, because John Wall's still technically in the picture right now, and so it's
– he is technically, but, I mean, right. I don't buy him as their long-term, you know, future success. But so I think that would be a fun fit for that team, and I think for a locker room guy, Maxey would be a huge pickup. So I'm part of the Tyrese Maxey revolution now. I'm sorry it took so long, but I'm buying his shot too. So if you haven't watched Ethan's video on it, I'm definitely a lot more after seeing kind of his workout improvements as far as his arc on his shot and just some of the other general idiosyncrasies, definitely a lot more confident in his ability to shoot the ball. So I'm in on Tyrese Maxey, and I think 9 is a great spot for him.
Yeah, this is an extremely interesting spot for him too. I honestly, as high as I've been on Maxey for a long time now, and I still have, I'm not, you know, fully there on him, but I'm around the same range. I would say we're about the same range on him now. I think this is still one of my, at least from my board, one of the, if not the best perimeter guard defender, point of attack defender, in this entire class, at least for true guards that won't necessarily,
you know, true ones.
Defend wings. Yeah. True ones or twos. Whatever you want to
list. True one size, I should say.
Right, exactly. And so Maxey, like you mentioned, instantly helps the Wizards with their perimeter defense, with their overall defense. And I think one thing that's really helped Maxey's stock at least maintain its value for me has been just watching the playoffs and watching, you know, just watching how the league is trending so much towards, at least it seems, drop coverage for now. How important it is for these guards to apply such, you know, intense on-ball
off
pressure.
Off-dribble creators, yeah.
Right, and on-ball to be able creators. To get around screens and to be able to – I'm even saying defensively for Maxey, to be able to apply pressure defensively, to be up on that ball, to not get absolutely blown away by screens. I think that's something that really benefits him, just if you're talking about the future of the NBA. But like you mentioned too, offensively as well, this is somebody that is – an exceptional creator, at least at the college level, and we'll see how it translates. But he was able to create his own shot at will at Kentucky, and there was questions about his off-catch shooting. You can watch my video. I kind of broke down what he needed to fix, and it looks like at least it's trending towards the release point, which is my number one
thing
with him.
Yeah, it looks good.
It's starting to be less of a heave and more of a fluid motion, which I love to see. His base has always been exceptional, off-dribble and off-catch, and it looks like he's maintaining that as well. And this is a exceptional finisher, at least at the collegiate level, around the rim. Just an acrobat in that sense. And so that's another level to his game that you're getting. And I really like the Wizards fit here because I think he slots in well with Bradley Beal. I think they complement each other really well. I like the point about, you know, you already run your offense through Beal, so why not incorporate a guy like Maxey and kind of let him play off
in a lower risk situation. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Love that fit. I would be ecstatic if I could get that as a Wizards fan.
Absolutely. And I've got Maxey listed as well, but I'm going to outline, I think Patrick Williams is a really nice fit for the Washington Wizards at 9. This is a team that kind of just needs more young two way wings. And like you mentioned, defense as well. I think he adds,
Devin Vassell.
Right. I think him or Vassell adds some future credibility to their defense. I like Patrick Williams a lot. I've already kind of talked about him. I think this is another guy that with the Wizards, you're getting someone that has a great base to build upon in Williams from that wing spot. Someone that can arguably probably start from day one even on that team with how thin they are at wing. I think Williams kind of embodies that kind of, you know, is another guy that can build for the future with the young core that they have, or the young core that they're at least building, because he's someone that flashed offensive upside in terms of being the pick and roll ball handler, in terms of being a really interesting slasher at the collegiate level. I think he fits in really well alongside Bradley Beal and Hachimura and some of the other guys that they have there.
Definitely. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'm still more with Pat Wills, kind of a four, small ball five potentially. Right. I'll kind of go into that in a couple picks, but I see where you could see that value. 10 for me for the Suns would be Kyra Lewis. Again, a guy that can create breakdowns, potential volume advantages with that speed, and you know if we can work with that in pick and roll, you have a chance for really strong initiator. I think the breakdowns he would create would be really, really great for Booker, Ayton, McCall Bridges, and Cam Johnson as far as shooters and guys that can take the ball out of Booker's hands so he doesn't have to constantly create for that team. But I really think Kyra's a strong fit here. I think Maxey would be as well. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, everyone, again, this is another one where everyone's hoping that Killian Hayes falls to the Suns.
Yeah, it's not happening.
And it's just not. It's just happening. There's no way in he's getting through teams like the Pistons and even Chicago. I mean, because the Suns have been in need of a true point guard to take the ball out of Devin Booker's hands for years, and they kind of got that last year in Ricky Rubio to a lesser extent. And how good? And Ricky Rubio is really good in his role, in my opinion. I think he was. He was exactly what they needed him to be. But now you kind of potentially replace Ricky with a guy like Kyra. I'm right there with you, by the way, on Kyra at 10 to the Suns. You replace Ricky with a guy like Kyra who's dynamic in terms of his change of pace, in terms of his speed, in terms of his vision, off pick and rolls. Also, I think has equity off the ball for the future if he's able to develop as a shooter like I think he will be able to. But again, just another level to that offense, and you know, you can jumble lineups with him and Booker as well. They can be on the court at the same time, but they can also be off the court. You know, one of them can be off the court, one of them can be then running the offense. I think it works really well. Concerns would be obviously on the defensive side of the ball with that backcourt fit, and I think this is only something that would grow over time is those two defensively. I think Booker took a big step forward this year, especially when you looked at the bubble, when you looked at the playoffs, watching him. I thought he was a lot better defensively when it came to that. So it's not as big of a concern as it once was. And there's a number of other guys on that roster, like Javon Carter, like some of the other guards that they have that can kind of mask those defensive weaknesses with the lineups you put them in. And good defending wings and Bridges and Cam Johnson. So it's something that you could definitely make work, and it's got extreme upside on the offensive side of the ball. Watching Lewis and Booker work together would be extremely interesting, I think, especially offensively. I mean, it could just open up so many avenues for the Suns.
Yeah, and I think, again, same boat with Maxey as well. And if you can't get either of those guys, Devin Vassell. I mean, if you can get basically two McCall Bridges on their team, I mean, Jace, like that would be such a crazy wing defense team a few years.
Absolutely.
But I like those two guards most there. At 11 for the Spurs, this is my Patrick Williams fit. This is more based off of I think this is kind of the range he's going to go, that 10 to 14 spot. I think this would be the best fit for him as far as the development system and a roster construction system or a roster construction fit. Excuse me. But the Spurs really don't have a four for the future. And I think bringing Pat Wills is probably going to be the move there. Take a chance on his upside and developing him in their great system. And, working on that defensive versatility and continuing to develop his offensive skill set as their bigs kind of age. And I think he's a guy that can even play the small ball five and against some teams, you know. So I think when you get a guy with that potential versatility, the Spurs are my favorite bet on making one of those guys succeed. So
for sure.
That's why I like Pat Wilder. I think that's where he'll have the best chance to succeed. And I think he could really turn to an interesting player from that.
Yeah, Spurs are super interesting, and Pat Will is one of my fits as well, but I'll talk about somebody else that I like a little bit more than Pat Will for number 11 for the Spurs. And it's an interesting roster when you look at it. A lot of young guards. DeJounte Murray kind of took a step back last year, in my opinion, but you still got guys like Derek White and Lonnie Walker, and I'm a big fan of Keldon Johnson as well. DeMar DeRozan's still on the roster as well. LaMarcus Aldridge. This is where I think you kind of just need – the Spurs are going to need a future difference maker. They need to take a chance for once in their life, and there's no better team historically that develops international players. And I think Poku 11 to the Spurs, Aleksej Pokuševski, is one of my favorite fits that I've kind of just bought into over these last few weeks. I think if he goes to the Spurs, he's arguably best set up for success as opposed to any other team. And I have no idea how Popovich would use him. He's probably the most shiny toy he's had in his entire coaching career. Since Duncan, right out of the draft. So I'd be super interested to see how he's even utilized, if he's utilized this first year. But man, for the future, you need a difference maker. You need somebody that can potentially be kind of a transcendent piece on this team. And he'd fit really well, in my opinion, with the young guards that they have. Poku, obviously, just extremely, I think, is going to be extremely versatile defensively in the NBA. And just a super offensive prospect in terms of being 6'10 and handling the ball and having the movement shooting skills that he does.
7'2?
Right. Maybe anywhere between 6'10 and 7'2. We'll give him 7 foot for now. But Poku, I mean, I think 100% deserves to be drafted in the lottery, and I'd love to see him go 11 to the Spurs, where they just have a historical commonwealth of developing international.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I would be really hyped. I mean, if that happens, he's a superstar, right?
I mean, oh, right. It has to be.
So, yeah, I would love to see what they could do with the tools he brings. So, but a man can dream. Man can dream.
Right.
Kings. I'm going with Sadiq Bey for the Kings. I think the Kings need wings more than almost anybody else, as far as on the defensive side of the ball. And I'm betting that Devin Vassell is gone by now. So, of course, I would say Vassell, but yeah. I mean, they have basically no true wing defenders on their roster. Yeah. Their biggest wing is, I mean Corey Burris, was he on their roster, but he's not staying. And, they have the Jabari Parker and, Justin James, I think, is their biggest wing at 6'7", 190. So I think if you bring in a guy like Bay, he'll give you a little bit more he'll give you a lot more value compared to some of the other teams as far as making a difference initially. Because they'll need him to come out and defend the best wing like right away and then continue to make shots from the wing. So I actually really like this fit in Sacramento. And I also hear, he's an A1 dude. He's a real smart guy. And I think the Kings really need some smart players to push in their roster forward. So Sadiq Bey all the way.
Really smart guy from what has been out there about him. But, I mean, and I completely agree with you on the fact that the Kings need wings. I'm pretty sure Harrison Barnes is, like, their last relevant true wing on the roster.
It's kind of more of a four now.
Right, exactly. And he's not someone that's going to be moving with creators on the wing.
On that defensively. End.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I've made it known I'm not as high on Sadiq Bey as I think a few others are. And that's why I'm not stretching here for the Kings. I think their draft process should 100% be see which one of those top wings, like Vassell, like Okoro, like Denny, like even Pat Will, if one of those guys is able to fall to 12 here. And if not, I think someone that has a good chance at being there is Tyrese Halliburton. I love this fit alongside De'Aaron Fox.
I don't think he's going to be there.
I think there's a potential chance that just looking at these teams, Halliburton falls in terms of just fit and need.
I think a lot of guys like him, top five.
But I think an outside chance is that he falls to 12, and it's a really solid fit for the Kings alongside De'Aaron Fox.
I think that would be kind of a dream come true, maybe as far as a guy that drops. But just based off intel, you know, teams love Tyrese Halliburton. But, I mean, if he fell, yeah, you know, bringing a guy that could make as many winning plays as he does, the Kings definitely need that. And, you know, being a secondary guy alongside De'Aaron Fox would be really interesting because you have a guy that can generate breakdowns as often as Fox with his speed. And then on the complete opposite side, you have a guy that's going to create advantages with his craft and his IQ. And that could be a really interesting 1-2 punch. And then, you know, seeing how maybe Buddy Hield and Bogdanović fit in there would be kind of an interesting interesting balancing act. But
yeah,
I think that'd be a great fit for Halliburton if he could make it there.
And if Halliburton, obviously, if he didn't make there, obviously it's a little bit of wishful thinking on my part. But I think another guy that at least the Kings should take a hard look at that's kind of similar to Halliburton in that role is RJ Hampton. I'm still not all the way out on RJ Hampton. I think he'd be interesting building on that team, especially with his defense alongside De'Aaron Fox. And it wouldn't be a great shooting backcourt whatsoever, so I don't know if you could possibly play them together from day one. But definitely for the future, I think RJ Hampton would be a super interesting fit on this Kings team, kind of in that Halliburton kind of big secondary guard role, not comparing their games whatsoever because they're completely different, but kind of just in that role of having that other guard, because I think there's a pretty good chance that Buddy Hield isn't on this Kings team with how unhappy he is with their management and coaching going into next year.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting thing to observe moving forward. We'll see how that all that all plays out, and if Kings just have to how they draft.
Right. I mean, it's a really simple fix for the Sacramento Kings. If you just trade for Al Horford and you trade Buddy Hield to the 76ers, it works itself out. So.
Okay, Ethan. Okay. That one out. All right, 13 Pelicans. My favorite fit here would be either Tyrell Terry or Malachi Flynn. And I'm not sure – I really don't think a team will reach to the lottery for Malachi Flynn, but I think he's that good that they should genuinely consider it. I think he provides – him and Terry provide a completely different backcourt presence as far as an initiator goes to Lonzo. And I don't really buy like Frank Jackson staying on the roster or Nickeil Alexander-Walker being their primary of the future. Right. And Drew Holiday's, you know, he's an 11-year pro. He's not going to be there forever. Redick's going to expire. So I think getting a good future initiators, you know, would be a great play. And Lonzo being on the roster also offers a lot of interesting, like, lineup versatility.
Yeah,
especially, you know, as his shot continues to hopefully develop and, you know, his defense continues to be impactful. But I just want a guard that's going to be a really great playmaker for Zion. And I think bringing the shooting gravity that those two guys have with the IQ that they both have, I think either of those guys would really find a way to bring the best out of the guys on that roster. And I'm just envisioning Malachi Flynn, Zion Williamson pick and rolls, and him or Jackson Hayes. Like that would be a phenomenal, phenomenal fit. But it would be a bit of a reach as far as the intel we've heard so far. But as far as a value return, I would still consider doing it.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm with you on both of those guys. There's a lot of different avenues the Pelicans can explore here because they're – you know, such just a young team in general. So having this 13th pick is really good to just continue building upon that young core. My favorite fit, at least at 13, is actually Grant Riller for this team. I think just in terms of space creator, right? Like you mentioned, just having a point guard, just having an initiator that can take some ease off of Zion and potentially even Brandon Ingram for the future on this roster is going to be huge. And Riller is a guy that offers some shooting gravity, that offers some, you know, in terms of shooting gravity, spot up shooting gravity, off the catch, whatever it is, off the dribble, is exceptional in the pick and roll as well as the ball handler. So running those with Zion, I think, would be a hassle in a few years for some teams defensively. I like Riller. I also like Desmond Bain here, just in terms of stretching the floor. I think Bain's the best shooter in this draft, all things put together. When you just look at his full package of what he's displayed in college, and also just
he's a great passer too.
Exactly what he offers as a facilitator, kind of as that big body defender as well. He's one of my favorite guys in this class. I don't think the Pelicans will reach for him at 13, but like you're saying with Tyrell, like you're saying with Malachi, who I'm totally on board with, by the way, with 13.
I think, like you said,
the value return is there for the Pelicans. And if you're not going to reach here, then you might as well trade down and pick one of these four or five guys at a later first round spot.
Yeah, and if you can't trade down, I'd still take him.
Honestly. Absolutely.
If I'm the Pelicans front office, that's what I would have done, because I think the value you get from those guys is just so high comparatively that I don't think you can miss out on it. I think it's going to be that valuable on your team. So definitely those guys. I can see all of them being really solid fits. And to round out the lottery, Boston, 14. Now, Boston's such, again, very interesting draft case because they are they're basically a contender, or they will be. One of the top defenses in the game, extremely, extremely good offense, established creators. So you're like, well, we don't really have a lot of needs to fill here other than, at the five, which there really isn't a lot I would want to do at 14 when I could get something at 26 or 30.
Yeah.
So what I would do if I were Boston is pick up Alexei Pokusevski. I think Poku at 14, if you can get him for the Celtics, just stash him. You save your later picks for the win now guys and let Poku develop. I think that's they're in a great spot to find value there.
Yeah, I mean, this is just disgusting for me to look at as a 76ers fan. And I just absolutely would hate to see, but I mean, Boston. I just know Boston's going to end up with Poku Summit, with one of these picks in the first round. They're going to end up with Poku or something like that. And it's just the perfect fit, like you're saying, for what they need, especially in the future. They have the liberty because of how, the 26 and the 30 that they have and the value that could be there. They have the liberty to take a chance on a guy like Poku at 14 and still draft two win-now players, I was going to say stretch for Xavier Tillman at 14, but it's not even worth it. Like him at 26 or 30 potentially.
Exactly.
And so picking Poku here at 14 is would be awesome for the Celtics. I'm going to bring up again Desmond Bane. I think this is another guy too, like a lesser tier of Vassell, who I would not be mad at all if I'm a Celtics fan, picking him at 14.
I don't think he lasts.
Yeah, I, and it's going to be super interesting because just with these few teams, Spurs, Kings, and Pelicans, all three need a Desmond Bain. Almost every team in the NBA needs a Desmond Bain, but those three especially.
and a Devin Vassell.
Right. If you can have 15 Devin Vassells, Desmond Bains, split them up however you want to, you have a good chance at being a really good basketball team. Maybe not winning a championship because you don't have a Helio, but being a really good basketball team. And so I think Poku, Desmond Bain, great fits. But I also want to mention my guy Tyrese Maxey here at 14. I think with the Celtics is just a dream fit if he's able to fall this far. And I've seen mocks where Maxey is second round, late first round, late 20s.
I think it's possible.
Whatever it is. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities whatsoever. And drafting a guy like Maxey, again, just another headache for, people who are not big Celtics fans, because he's going to slot in really well and play in – such a limited role beside Kemba Walker and Jaylen Brown and Tatum and all the other guys that they have, Marcus Smart, if he's back, it's going to be, that's just an exceptional fit for what the Celtics need. He offers exactly kind of what their roster construction is leaning towards in terms of exceptional two-way players for the future that can defend at the point of attack, that can do a variety of different things offensively, can play off the ball, play on the ball, whatever it might be. And Maxey kind of just adds to that, which you can never have enough of those guys. So I think Maxey, Bane, Poku, Celtics really can't go wrong here at 14.
Yeah, I really like the Maxey fit as well, as far as a guy that could be super dynamic on the on both ends. But playing alongside Marcus Smart, I think that would give them some really interesting perimeter defense.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, that would be pretty fun to watch as far as from an effort standpoint. If they do go big, which I don't think they do, other than Poku, I think they consider Jalen Smith, even if he's – I mean, I've heard lottery buzz.
Yeah.
I know Mike Schmidt says he's, you know, he's got potential to be a late lottery guy. So I think he's a guy that could be a sleeper pick at 14 that could stretch the floor and play drop a lot better than their current bigs.
Right.
I think he's a far better defender than Cantor, and he gives a different option for than Daniel Tice. So he would be a very interesting fit as well. I still am rather high on Jalen Smith, so I would definitely not be worried if they picked him. I think that would be a solid fit as well. But if you can avoid using drop coverage, I mean, you want to, because a drop just is just not the best for the off-dribble guys of the modern game. So,
right.
I don't know if they'd reach for a drop big at that size, but
Celtics
who knows?
Normally their front office, their coaching staff is ahead of the curve in terms of that kind of thing. So I'm right there with you. You don't think they would reach for a primary drop big. At 14, they're definitely going to be more interested in guys like even Tillman later and other guys versatile. That can kind of fill that role of playing multiple coverage, being able to do multiple things on the defensive side of the ball. Because when you look at them defensively, that's what they are. They're such a dynamic defensive team with guys like Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and Tatum that can just do so many things defending that wing and guard, defending those wing and guard positions. They're going to look for another playmaker on that side of the ball.
I think it's interesting too, because they did play so much drop coverage, but they were like second in the league in, you know, limiting opponent points per game and fourth in defensive rating. So I think it's really interesting that they were able to play drop and succeed as much as they did. But, you know, and if that's their method going forward, I think Jalen Smith provides them with a better drop big moving forward for the future than they currently have. So very interested to see what they do with their set of picks.
Just about wraps it up for what we got on the Prospect Podcast today. We're able to go through all 14 of our at least favorite realistic fits for each team, 1 through 14 in the lottery. The NBA draft is right around the corner, and super interested to see where each team goes. I mean, the Warriors have kind of been at the forefront of, you know, we just kind of like everybody, or we kind of don't like somebody, or we kind of just like at least 10 guys in the lottery. So we'll see where teams like the Warriors.
I have something to say about that.
please do.
I think when you muddy the waters as much as they do, as far as leaking interest, what it does, and this is just a theory that I was thinking about, is it may incentivize teams to trade up. If they think their guy is among those people that they really, really like, because if they lock in and say, "Oh, we really like Wiseman at 2," teams are gonna be like, okay, that's where that's going. Yeah. I don't really want to trade up for that when I know a guy could drop to us. But oh, you really like Denny at 2. I really wanted Denny at 5, so we're gonna, you know, think about moving up. I think that's the strategy there. Muddy the waters to get a potential trade going. So, theory.
Absolutely. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And for a team like the Warriors, they can kind of, with their roster construction, they're kind of the anomaly of all these teams in the lottery this year in terms of they are going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be a contender as long as everyone stays healthy next year. And so they can kind of go anywhere they want to. But you know, it, absolutely. If you hear your guy is being mocked to the Warriors, or the Warriors really like your guy at number two, you're going to be incentivized to potentially, you know, trade up for him and try to make a move. So going to be super interesting just to see, especially for the Warriors, how they handle that and what they end up doing with the second overall pick, because it's been thrown around in so many trade packages and moving down and whatnot.
Yeah, it will be. But I think they're definitely looking to trade with what they've been doing. So,
yeah,
because it's so different than the other classes where it's like, you know, we're locked in at Zion at one, or we really like, you know, Cade Cunningham or Lonzo at, you know, two, and everybody right. wants Lonzo. And so they're like, oh, now we got trade up because we value him so heavily. Yeah, since there isn't like, Markel yeah, there's that like hierarchy of guys this year. Right. So they have to like kind of say, hey, you know, we kind of like all these guys. So,
yeah,
if you really like any of them, you should probably trade up. Just in case.
Right. Just in case so. We take him, because we can take any one of them, even though we only have one pick.
Exactly. So that's the strategy there, I think.
Absolutely. Well, right around the corner, we'll be back with another episode next week as soon as we get this one out. But, again, appreciate you listening. Appreciate all the support that we got back on our first episode. I'll be putting out a mailbag to finally open up to some questions, because that's something that I've been missing from our shows for a while now. For next week's episode, whatever topic we might cover, still open up to questions, still answer those for you guys. But appreciate the support that we got on the last one, hoping to keep it going. Got two straight weeks of Prospect Pod episodes out. NBA draft right around the corner. We're picking up steam at a great time. So follow Alex on Twitter. He's doing great work right now at HB Analytics. Follow me on Twitter
just
at
right Ethan
Piotta. Right. He's been doing great work since February.
No,
he's been
following right
along.
Just
but just right now, especially, you can unfollow him right after the draft is over. But just up until the draft, do yourself a favor and follow Alex on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. Follow at Prospect Pod on Twitter. Leave us a nice review. Leave us a like, whatever you might have to do. If you enjoyed it, share this podcast. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back next week.
Thank you, guys.